Welcome to the Digital Signage Today podcast. I'm Daniel Brown, editor of Digital Signage Today, and I've got a very special guest today, Carrie Garcia, who's going to talk to us about infotainment meets culture. Museums, art galleries are the new digital signage frontier. Carrie, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience that may not know you?
Sure. My name is Carrie Garcia, and I currently work for YCD Multimedia. We specialize in experiential digital signage, and we've done quite a few museums. Yeah, it's where the crossroads of, culture and history meet, and it's quite exciting.
I love that. Well, and as I go around, and I like to go to museums and so forth, I love seeing. I think last year I went to the NASCAR Museum, and I see more and more digital signage and even interactive touchscreens popping up. I've seen some news about hologram displays starting to be popping up as well, especially with some of the Hollywood affiliated museums. And it's
Right.
kind of a weird, I don't know if you call it a paradox, that this emerging technology is fueling curiosity about the past. Can you talk about that a little bit? It's like a contradiction.
Well, see, it's like timelines are really great tools of putting historical events into perspective, right? But the digital timeline of it, or the experiential portion of it, or even the holograms is what makes it more exciting. Even sexy, I'd say. And when you think about museums, you don't really think about them being exciting. You kind of roll your eyes. At least my kids did for the majority of their, younger teenage years. But when you have the interaction and you have things that captivate your attention, I mean, that's where the digital signage and the visual communications come in, right? Because you want to grasp them, you want to bring them in, you want to go ahead and give them all the feels. And we are so numb to just flat paper, having to read everything. I was mentioning to somebody just this morning, I'm a digital foreigner. My kids are digital natives. They were born swiping left and right. And so museums have had to evolve, right? And become more relevant.
Do you find that there's almost, I'm glad you mentioned that mobile component. I mean, what are some of the leading technologies that you've seen installed and even designed in these museums? Is it just screens or is there mobile interactivity? What kind of stuff are you seeing?
It is mobile interactivity. As a matter of fact, even from the digital wayfinding, when you enter into a museum, no longer are you, bombarded with maps for this exhibit or that exhibit. A museum can span from a, 12 by 12 room with a headdress on the wall to two, three, four stories of exhibits, here in Europe. And so basically, the wayfinding and the breadcrumb trail on your mobile device has become quite the actual rave, because you want that at your fingertips, right? You don't want to have to. I mean, think about your GPS in your car versus an old-fashioned map. So these are just things that are becoming more and more exclusive and but inclusive at the same time, if that makes sense.
So it's almost, I love that. It's kind of echoing in all these other industries. We talk to leaders who are installing digital signage to create an experience that's sticky, that's memorable, that surprises and delights. I'm thinking of even some of the retail installations we looked at recently. And sort of the wayfinding is exploding and letting people kind of have this interactive wayfinding instead of, okay, walk over to the kiosk and it's just an analog map, which is kind of boring. And now you can literally do a QR code and it's on your phone now.
Yeah, because digital wayfinding includes like 3D maps, directories, touch screens. Like that breadcrumb trail is perfect because it actually gives you the directions step by step of how far it is away from what you want to see. And sometimes museums are not just a one day, visit. They can turn into a week. I remember when I was in Spain and I was visiting some of the museums over there. And not having, a month to do so, it gave me the insights and the highlights to be able to go ahead and go to the actual exhibit or item that I wanted to see at my fingertips. So I was able to plan my day accordingly. And it told me how much time it would take to get there and things of that nature. But not just the mobility factor of it. We're seeing like projection mapping and things of that nature, going ahead and changing the scenery of what you are looking at the moment, and it allowing it to become immersive as well.
Well, I love that. We just reported, I think it was last year and the year before, on the growth of the Van Gogh, the Van Gogh art exhibit that's international now, and just the 3D yes. immersion. It's insane. Just seeing videos. It's nuts.
It's funny because I actually visited that 2 years ago during a break at Infocom, and I went ahead in Las Vegas, and then it finally arrived here in Miami, and I was able to see it again with my family, and the changes that it went through were just amazing, and it became even more immersive in the space that I was in when I visited here in Miami, where I live. It was exciting. So yeah, I really liked the Van Gogh.
I'm so jealous. Like, what was it like to be there in person? I love his art. I haven't been to the exhibit.
So we walked through a whole bunch of different sceneries and movements, and just the way that they were able to make like the lavender fields come to life, or the haystacks come to life with that movement. It kind of like brought you into one of his paintings. And my favorite of all time is Starry Night. And just because of the colors, Same. Right? And so I kind of like, in one of the rooms, it went completely dark. And then from the ground up, I mean, it was all over. So it was totally immersive. And then you saw the stars come to life and the colors, you know, level upon level, going ahead and just blending together. It's absolutely beautiful and breathtaking.
That's amazing. And it sort of, again, it ties into across all the industries. People are realizing digital signage really is the way to engage your audience, your customers. Even cities are engaging people with these smart kiosks. So it's not just museums. It's not just art installations.
No, not at all.
Would you say,
I'm sorry. It's
Go
just
ahead.
That digital signage software and the CMSs, at least YCDs, you know, shameful plug, you're able to go ahead and incorporate more than just the visual, right? You're able to go ahead and it's capable of displays and sounds and movements, museums, aquariums, national parks. They're using digital signage in quite unique experiences, things that, you know, we would not have been able to go ahead and do probably 10 years ago. You're able to do today. I mean, if you can dream it, we can build it.
That's amazing. That's a wonderful tagline. What do you think are some of the rules that you're starting to see that you try to tell people when you're designing your digital experience? These are the do's, these are the don'ts.
Well, you need to know your space, right? You need to understand the capacity that the visitor is going to go ahead and encompass in it. And then you need to go ahead and understand where you want your exhibit to be. Do you want the guests to be a part of it, or do you want them to just be onlookers? And it's okay if you just want them to be onlookers. You just need to go ahead and define that space. And then you need to see what else you're going to incorporate. Are you going to incorporate movement? Are you going to incorporate sound? So also lighting is a big factor. You know, you need to know what your lighting is like. You need to know what the dimensions, how far away a guest is going to be from a particular exhibit, or if they're going to be within the exhibit, right? And then the exhibit is going to be happening all around them. So those are the rules that we need to follow. Capacity is a big issue as well, because you want those to be able to enjoy it. So like, let's go back to the Van Gogh. They go ahead and give you ticketing on a half an hour basis, because they will go ahead and allow a string of guests to come through so that you're not so crowded, so everything flows. And I think that's really, really smart.
That's amazing. Well, it ties into another perennial question, because we just had an interesting, I think I was at the Populo annual workplace event the other day, and people are asking timing. How long do I make each iteration on my sign and so forth? And people seem to think I need a 10-minute, you know, video or something. It's like, no, yeah. You don't need a 10-minute video.
What
are some timing rules that you have found?
So it depends on the actual client and what their vision is. But, you know, when I was delivered PowerPoints as presentations, you know, you got to like 50 pages of a PowerPoint and it was like death by PowerPoint. Sometimes you can overwhelm your guest or the individual, right? So, and sometimes depending on the auditory needs or the visual needs or their restrictions or enhancements with the individual, right? I see a lot of neurodivergents who do not care for the visual and to be part of it for a prolonged not amount of time, right? So it actually depends on your clients, what you're trying to do. We caution more than 5 minutes, you're going like a toddler. They have, we have a limited attention span sometimes, right? So more than 5 minutes, I believe you'll lose the audience.
That's amazing. I think I saw a study come out for the DOH industry, PDOH, where they said they found 7 seconds on average was the sweet spot. Something about the brain, the circuitry in the brain, 7 seconds for your message really grabs people when they're on the go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard the same.
Though I'd imagine in a museum, we want to take our time. So it's probably not as fast as
Yeah.
7 seconds.
So no, yeah, I was referring to 5 minutes is like a timeline or a history. If you want somebody to follow through and swipe through and read through the process, I mean, 5 minutes may seem like an eternity as well.
Well, and I love chatting. We have a pretty good group of integrators that read our stuff too, and chatting with them about the work they do and talking about growth areas for the next 5 years of the industry. Not many people are talking, I don't think, about this huge world of museums and live exhibits. Why do you think that is? How can we, because it seems like it's a very big growth area.
I think it's a budgetary restraint and the constrictions, because think about it, the museums are funded by endowments, and sometimes being able to go ahead and educate or articulate your message, it does take funds. And so you rely on, especially if you're a non-for-profit museum, right? You rely on donations, and sometimes you're not able to charge what the larger museums can charge. So I think that funding is a big restriction for some or for most. And those that are fortunate to have the funding probably have not gone ahead and understood what digital signage or a digital signage software or the CMS can do for them, or how it can interact. I love the live, and forgive me, I think it's at MoMA, where you can actually go ahead and see the live installations via digital signage, and the beauty of them and the movement and how they work and ebb and flow, right? It's just something that we're not used to seeing into a museum. So adoption is probably going to be one of the bigger tasks to accomplish, not just adoption from the museums, but adoptions from the guests as well. Because you're not used to, like I said, my kids would roll their eyes every time we visit someplace and we'd say, we're going to go and stop in at this museum or this cathedral, or, they're like, oh, can we just go to a water park?
Right. Well, what you say, I love that you mentioned MoMA, because I think MoMA New York, they had the exhibit, the Rafi Gana doll, the AI
Exactly.
powered art, which is
Yes.
insanely cool. And
It was
also
cool.
in, oh my God, I wish I could have gone to see it live. And
I
the
wasn't able to see it live. I've just seen clips.
it's amazing what he does. And the oh, Barry X. Cohen, the sculptor in New York City,
Yes.
has a studio, and so many passerby were trying to like crane in and look in the window. So he built a digital signage installation 24/7. They can see what the team is building, and they
That's
don't
great.
have to like risk spraying into their ankle or something, climbing up in the window. It was so cool.
Yeah, I've got these little T-Rex arms and T-Rex legs, so I probably wouldn't have been able to peekaboo inside. So I'm glad that that's a live feed 24/7. That's amazing.
And that's another, you mentioned neurodivergence, and that's another aspect of this that I love. Digital signage is a very accessible medium that's making things more
100%.
accessible.
100%. Anytime you want to go ahead and communicate something, you have to understand your mediums of communication. And visual communication is, I think, a perfect medium for those neurodivergents who require one thing or another, or prefer one medium over the other. I have my son who is sensitive to light, and he prefer not to go ahead and enjoy a theme park, so he likes the museums. And then I have another son who is just like, a football player out there doing whatever he wants to do with life. And so it's great that you have different mediums catering to those who appreciate the arts.
And one of those rules that you just brought up again that I try to tell people at shows around the country, it's about building options for your customer, for your audience, and not bombarding them with one way to experience the experience. If you give them several ways to experience the experience so they can choose, that seems to
Yeah,
work really well.
choice is huge, right? I mean, choice in our everyday lives, choice in what we eat and drink. We have options. And I want to go ahead and consume the information that you want to share with me with options as well.
What's the classic example of the QSR restaurant where there's no physical menus? It's just QR code. Well, I want the physical menu sometimes,
I
you know,
want the
so having
physical
both.
menu. Yeah, exactly. 100%. And then those who adapt or adopt the ability to offer choices, I think are going to stay around longer. And then those who don't adapt and adopt might find themselves dying on the vine.
That's huge. That's huge. What do you think, just as you've been and you've worked in these installations, you've done this for a while, what are some of the biggest trends that you see in the next couple of years, even?
I think you're going to go ahead and it's going to go beyond the site. And I think it's going to be touch and feeling, right? Because many museums add, high resolution videos and images along with a short summary. But in the Van Gogh exhibition and experience, you had little mock-up rooms to what his bedroom looked like. From what the reader could have gone ahead and, extrapolated, a little bed, a straw hat. You were able to sit on that bed, and the sheets were, projection mapped on there, but you were
Wow.
able to touch and feel the bed and touch and feel a stool or sit in an easel and feel a paintbrush. So I think that's going to be the trend. It's going to go towards beyond just sight. Obviously, you're not able to touch the Magna Carta, right? But you might be able to go ahead and walk
Legally,
up
you can't.
legally, right? But you might be able to go up to an exhibit of it and have, the words projected onto the page, and you turn the page and see these words, So it's just something that we're not there yet, but I do believe we're going to get there soon.
That is explosive right now. One of the biggest growth industries, I try to tell people in India, there's amazing experiential exhibits for everything from brands to museums. And there's a lot of these wonderful 3D art books where they have
Yes.
projection mapping and things. And I love seeing this technology. And I try to tell people, I'm so passionate. I think this is another example. The
I'm
world is coming
stoked about
back. Yeah. Well,
it.
to in-person experiences. And people always said, especially after pandemic supply chain, oh, well, people just want to stay home and be on their phones. This is not true. People want to be in the world. They want to experience
They
things.
do. They want to touch and they want to feel the world around them. And what better way to do so? I mean, I remember from, just pop-up books, right? Think about that. To the flat pages that, my kids, there was an evolution of what they wanted to do and see and learn. And, as human beings, not only are we finding ourselves, yes, we can work from anywhere, right? I'm not here to debate that, but I enjoy interaction. And so I would like to visit my clients in person if they will allow me, if they will have me. And most of the times they will, because, virtual is not for everybody. So we find ourselves in these different scenarios, and you have to figure out what works for each individual. And I think the trajectory of museums is on the right path. And just like restaurants and retail and others are following suit, where digital signage is becoming more prevalent.
That's huge. That's huge. I don't want to put you on the spot because you've already given some amazing examples, and sometimes we can't name all the different companies. But do you have just a few go-to? These are the very best installations that you've done or seen in the museums, like some examples.
I am so sorry that you asked me that question, because I am not, I asked up until, 5 minutes before I joined, can I please state the use case? If they're not on my website, I'm not able to share, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But I have gone ahead and enjoyed the experiences that I've worked on with the museums.
That's amazing. And do you see one of the things we followed, not just the holograms, super passionate about this. There's a growth, I think, in the green movement within our industry and the sustainability. I've seen more and more e-paper popping up, even in some of these, replacing the poster with an e-paper that can update itself. Do you see this technology coming into museums?
I was just recently exposed to it, and I think it's fascinating. A friend of mine, David, who is in media as well, he went ahead and he shared it with me, and then I loved it. I was like, wow, this is cool. This is like next level, right? So, and we're talking about, think about the cost associated with eliminating all that print to going to an e-paper. I mean, it's fascinating. I know that Adrian from DOOH went ahead and posted about it as well recently. And I was like, that's really cool. So of course, you know, I'm geeking out over here and I'm just researching it. And my kids are like, isn't that what billboards are? And I'm like, no, no, no. Sit down before you hurt yourself.
It's so far beyond billboards. I love that. And I had the chance at, oh gosh, it was the Consumer Electronics Show. I got to go speak to the E-Ink folks and they had a room set up and they're getting to where they're building objects with the actual material being E-Ink to where there was a guitar that changed its pattern while you played
That's
it.
so cool. That's fascinating.
And now they're doing color. And I'm thinking the museum world is just going to explode with this soon, I think.
I agree.
They have a car. They have a car that you can change its pattern while you're driving it. It's nuts. This is cool. Well, listen, this is wonderful, Carrie. I could talk to you for hours and I hope you'll come back again, by the way.
Well,
what
thank
would
you for
you,
that. I appreciate the invitation.
Absolutely. What would you say is your big takeaway as you've observed this industry growth with digital signage in museums? Like, what's your big lesson?
So the number one lesson is to know what their funding pattern is, right? Because you don't want to go ahead and offer something to a museum or to an institution that you just break their heart that they can't afford, right? So for me, it's, you know, just like any customer, you have to know what their funding pattern is. And then, you know, I would meet the folks that actually run the museums, anybody who actually volunteers, because they have some type of inside information, feelings, things that have brought about what the museum is trying to accomplish. The dossiers are such a valuable asset at the museums, and they like to feel involved. They don't want to feel like they're being outplaced, right? So, and then go big. It seems like an oxymoron, right? Where I'm saying, know their budget, don't try to go ahead and oversell them, don't offer them something that they can't afford. But if they can dream it, we can build it. I want to be able to go ahead and share their passion and help them visualize it, right? So to me, it would be just research, 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 especially about the museum, about its history, and then about the people that are running it. And then know the actual landscape that the museum is going to cater to, because without that, then, you know, you're not able to go ahead and provide any insider or engineering.
Love that. And it seems like the lesson that I keep hearing from you and other folks is digital signage like technology is at its best when it facilitates something special, not when it replaces a traditional experience or medium or content, when it makes it even more powerful.
Yeah, we definitely want to go ahead and focus on the feeling, right? Because those are the emotions. That's what's going to go ahead and give folks a reason to return or a reason to share the experience. And for it to blow up like the Van Gogh experience. Think about it.
I love that. I love that. And we're giving so much love posthumously to Mr. Van Gogh and his wonderful artwork, which I am all for. I'm here for it every day. This is amazing. Well, Carrie, I think we're close to time, but thank you so much for making time to meet with me. We have to do this again. And
of course.
Next time, if you want to bring some exhibits, maybe we'll show some videos or something from your favorite projects if you have them.
Yep. I'll get permissions before Shorhan.
Thank you so much. We'll chat
I
again very
appreciate you,
soon.
Daniel. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's been fun.
Absolutely.